reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading for this fourth Sunday in Lent is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's found on page 767, and we read Isaiah 42, beginning at verse 14. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, and the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is found in Ephesians, page 1252. And we read Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1146. And we read John chapter 9, selected verses, beginning with verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day, when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Continuing at verse 34, they answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, where we read, "And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" This is our text. I like to watch the program on television called American Pickers. Some of you may be familiar with that. It's a couple of good old Iowa boys who drive around the country, and they visit people who have what most of us would call a bunch of junk. But they hoard it, and then the pickers go through, and they find stuff that most of us would throw away, and they make money off from it. I was watching a show the other night where they were visiting this motorcycle enthusiast. And they found an old Harley Davidson gas tank. Half of it was bashed in. Paint was gone. The other half still had a little bit on it. I'm not a motorcycle enthusiast. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for it. But usually when they find something, they go, "Well, I'll give you $50 for this, or I'll give you $100. Sometimes they'll give $150 or $200, even $300, but that's usually about the tops. So I was quite amazed when this piece of junk they pulled off the wall, they set it down and said, "I'll give you $2,000 for this." My jaw dropped. How could something that I would easily, and probably most of you, throw away, be worth that much? When it comes to suffering, pain, trials, the difficulties of life, most of us treat it like junk. There's only one thing we want, And that's to be rid of it. But not so with God. We learn this most beautifully in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Often when we are praying to God about our troubles and our problems, the only message we're sending Him is, Lord, can you take this away from me? Can you heal me? Can you remove this obstacle? And God invites us to pray like that. But not only like that. Go to the Garden of Gethsemane and watch Jesus pray. He not only knew what he was facing, but as being fully human, he knew how hard it was going to be. He knew what pain and what suffering, not only physically, but emotionally as well, that he was about to endure. His prayers to God were so intense that literally his sweat became drops of blood. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he closes, but not my will, but thine be done. Why? If he was only thinking about himself, it could have just ended. Lord, take this away. But as we all know, he wasn't thinking just of himself. In all that suffering that he was about to endure, there was a blessing to be found. And it wasn't a blessing for him. It was a blessing for us. In that suffering and in that death, the price of our sin was paid. The wrath of God that we deserved was poured out on him. We might have forgiveness and life. Thank God that Jesus didn't pray, if you will, selfishly. And I know this might sound odd, but it is often when we pray to God about the things that are difficult and painful and hard in life that we do somewhat pray selfishly. I'd like to take you to another place in Scripture, if you would, for a moment. James chapter 4, you can find it on page 1298. It talks a little bit about prayer. And I'm just going to read one verse to you. Chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Often when we pray to God, we feel like he's not hearing us, that he's not answering us, because the thing that we prayed about doesn't just simply go away. How many times do you think this man born blind prayed to God? As he would sit day by day begging for help. And as he was sitting there, the passers-by, and probably he himself, thought, you know, is God punishing me? Did I do something to deserve this? Is God punishing my parents? Did they do something? And God did this to me, if you will, to make them pay. It's easy to have those thoughts. But when we do need to go back to the cross of Jesus to remind ourselves of what happened there. All sins were paid for. Is God angry with sin? Yes, he is. But he poured out his wrath on Jesus. Not just our sins were paid for, but the sins of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yet while we're in this world of sin, we still do feel the effects of it. But in the cross, it's now been transformed. It's really one of the unique beliefs of Christianity, known only through the cross and the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. That suffering is not simply junk, something that we just got to get rid of. It's something that God can use. Something that can be incredibly valuable in His saving work. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. God was not only going to use the suffering of our Lord Jesus, but he uses our suffering as well to teach, to call people to repentance, to reveal facts about himself, as he did with this man. Through his blindness and his healing and his testimony to Jesus, many souls that would be lost forever came to know Christ as Savior. We don't always know how God is using our life. Sometimes it's just to teach other people how to be merciful. How do you teach mercy? Not by standing around and taking care of yourself, but by finding somebody who needs taking care of. Now, I don't want to be, at least according to my sinful nature, that guy that needs to be taken care of. I want to stand on my own two feet, take care of myself, just go about my own business. But in this sinful world, imagine if there was nobody who needed taken care of. Do you think this world would be more loving and kind? Do you think more people would understand the mercy of God? Not heartily. Yes, sometimes we are just God's vessel to teach others how to be merciful. But there's so many other ways that God can use our lives. I remember this old German gal, somewhat by herself in my first second congregation. I would visit her as a shut-in, and then later on, she contracted cancer and was up in a hospital dying. I would stop by to see her, and she would have me bring up the portals of prayer that she could have devotions. And one day I walked in, I say, I see you have your portals of prayer there. She says, yes, but I don't read them. No. No, I have a nurse come in and read them to me. I could read them by myself, but I'm working on her. Yes, she had suffering, pain, trials, and troubles. But she knew there was something she could do with them. Some way that she could use them to reach out with the love of God to somebody else. For a lot of people, their only prayer might be, Lord, I've had enough of this. Take me home. I don't doubt she prayed like that as well. But somewhere in that prayer, I think there was also, but Lord, not my will, but yours. And if I am to stay here, what can I do with this trouble that I have? Why was that man born blind? It's not that God was punishing him. But while we all are in a sinful world that is still full of death and still full of trouble and still full of sickness and pain and suffering, God has determined to use those things to bring us to Him. May God grant that when we pray to God about our own trials and pains, that with those prayers we include a request that somehow God would show us how His works might be displayed in us, even in those trials. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.